Hello, my name is Peter and I'm a member of Grace Church here in Truro, and I'd just like to give a warm welcome to those from Grace that are actually visiting and listening, and also for those who are just joining us from elsewhere, wherever, welcome. Now, today we just think continuing a series in Grace on the Lord's Prayer and Jesus teaching us to pray. And so let's, before we actually talk about prayer, let's just pray. Just like to invite you to pray. Father, we just thank you that we can just come to you today, and we know that you care for us. And as we come, we just ask you that as we think about your word and what you want to say to us, that you will help us understand it. And not only understand it, but really put it into practice. Help us today, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. So we're thinking of the Lord's Prayer, And as we think of the Lord's Prayer, we turn it to Matthew chapter 6. Verses 9 to 13. So let me just read that. It's a slightly different version, but it's interesting. Our Father in heaven, Jesus says, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. And we'll say, Amen. So as we just think of this verse, I've just been asked to speak on the last phrase in verse 9, which says, hallowed be your name. And in order to understand the idea of hallowed be your name, it's just good to just to go over a little bit on the little background here. John spoke last week on this theme, Our Father in Heaven. But just to recap a little bit, we're talking about our Heavenly Father. We're talking about coming first of all to God. Before there's any petitions, before there's any looking around at others, Jesus invites us to look first to God. To look first to Him who's there for us at all times. And in other words, Jesus tells us to look up when we're down, to look up when we've got problems, to look up when we've got difficulties, instead of looking around at just at our circumstances and the seemingly impossible. When we see God in the picture changes, okay? So as we come into this, Jesus says, our Father in heaven, and Father here just means basically a protector, a nourisher, an upholder, a sustainer. So we come into someone who is our protector. We come into someone who nourishes us and helps us in our lives. And we come into someone that can keep us going even when the going is tough. And we come into someone who will sustain us right to the end and beyond. So this is our Heavenly Father. And as we come to Him, He is our Father. Jesus talks about my Father, but when He's teaching us disciples, He tells us to pray our Father. But there is a personal aspect to this. And the personal aspect is this, that He's mine. He is my Father. Because I have come to trust Him. I've come to trust in what He's done for me through Jesus Christ. And there's a sense of intimacy that I can know Him as God and as Father. And there's a sense too of nearness. As a father, we can trust Him. I was thinking just a while ago that I remember there's times when my father, when he was doing odd jobs around the house or in other houses or whatever, I just go and be with him and sit with him or whatever. And probably I've made a mess a few times, but we won't go into that. But it was just good to be with Father. It was just good to be with my Father. And it's like that spiritually. It's good to be with God our Father. So as we come to Him, what a comfort for us that we know that the Creator, God our Creator, is our Father. He's our spiritual Father. And what a wonderful way we can understand this, that we can see our Father in the daily aspects of our lives. It's William Hendrickson, author of quite a few commentaries, and he says this in his commentary on Matthew, one little phrase which really caught my attention. Behind this world, there is a loving, all-knowing, wise and powerful Father. Therefore, our hearts can be at rest. Ah, I think that's awesome. I'm going to read it again. I know it's taken up valuable seconds, but behind this world, there is a loving, all-knowing, wise and powerful Father, and therefore our hearts can be at rest. Ah, yes, we can rest in Him. He knows all things. Yes, there's suffering. Yes, we have difficulties. Yes, there are impossibilities, humanly speaking. But our Father is always with us. He will never withdraw His love from us. Oh, we can trust Him. And it says He's in the heavens, our Father in heaven. Not heaven, but heavens, literally. And that shows us that because He's in heaven and because He's our Father, we can come to Him in prayer and know that He can. Know that He can make a difference. Know that He will fulfill His will for our lives. We can trust Him. So as we just catch that simple glimpse of our Father, then let's move now into the phrase that I've been asked to share on. And the phrase is so simple, in one sense, hallowed be Your name. Yet it opens up a new world for us. And as we see it, we probably think of this as something simple to say, hallowed be Your name, and we have a pious attitude. But really, it's one of the most difficult phrases to express and to expound on in this portion of Scripture, in this prayer of Jesus. And so to do that, it's good, I think, if we can just, instead of saying, think about hallowed be Your name, we're going to think about the name, what it means for us, and then we're going to think about what the verb hallowed be is. So let's go and think about the name, first of all. And now the name here doesn't mean in the same context that you and I would think of a name. We would think of a name of, it's a name of a person, something that we can call them by. For example, John, Mary, Christine, David, or whatever. But in Hebrew and in Jesus' time, it really has to do with not simply the name by which a person is called, right? But it has to do with the nature, the character, the personality of the person insofar as it is known or revealed to us. The name of Scripture, really, of the name of God in Scripture, in Scripture language, means all that can be known about God. It refers to all that can be known about God as He has revealed Himself to us. Jesus Himself says when He's talking to His Father there in Gethsemane, in John chapter 17, when He's on about prayer and unity, and He's talking to his Father, and He says to His Father, I have revealed Your name to those whom You have given Me in this world. What an amazing statement. He has said to His Father, as they've seen Me, really, they've seen You. I've revealed to them what You are like. And what a challenge for us too, that we are willing to be used by God the Father to reveal the Father Himself to others, to show something of His love, His care, His concern for others. So as we come to God this morning, as we come to our Father, He wants us to reveal Him, to be those who reveal Him to others. And so it means that, how can I say? Well, just think of Psalm 9, verse 10, for example. The psalmist says this, those who know Your name will put their trust in You. Those who know Your name will put their trust in You. Obviously, that doesn't mean those that know that You are Jehovah in the Old Testament word, or know that You are Lord, will trust You. It doesn't mean that. What it actually means is those who know what God is like, those who know the nature and character of God, will put their trust in Him. So as we've learned to know who God is, what He's like, and the great revelation that we have here is God is our Father. As we learn to see who our Father is, we can trust Him more and more. And He says here, hallowed. And it's an old Saxon word probably, and it means to sanctify, to make holy, to treat a person or a thing as holy, as separate, as different. For example, you have the temple was considered holy. It was different. It was a building that was different. It was for the purpose of worship. You have the Sabbath day in the Old Testament that was considered different. It was a day of rest. It was a day of meditation. It was a day of just having intimacy with God and just relaxing. A completely different day from the other six. So we come here and we come to our Holy Father. And we look at this, and when Jesus says, "Hallowed be your name," we tend to think that this is a prayer. It is, in a sense. We tend to think that it's a statement of fact, that "Hallowed be your name, your name is holy, amen." But actually, it's a request. It's a request that we, as God's children, might reverence God, place him in that place where he deserves in our lives. And this word hallow, it really means reverence, a feeling of respect and admiration for our holy heavenly Father. And what Jesus is saying is this, really: hallowed be your name, is let God's name be treated differently from all other names. Let God's name, his person, his character, be given a position which is absolutely unique in our lives. In other words, let God be God in us. Oh, that's awesome. I just thought of that now. Let God be God in us. Let God's Spirit move in us. And this is more than just an intellectual knowledge of the meaning of divine names, or to say that we are Christians, or to say that we've received Jesus Christ into our lives, which is great. Please don't get me wrong. But this involves, is showing us, when we say, "Hallowed be your name," we are coming to God and in reverence, and we are requesting that he helps us place him, allow him to be placed in our lives in that position that he wants to be. And this involves our willingness to come before him with humility of spirit. We come to an almighty, loving heavenly Father, full of grace and mercy and truth. And that causes us to bow down before him to start with. He's God. We are pretty weak and fail, and we fail so much. Do you know there's nothing we have done or can do that can influence God to love us more or to be merciful towards us? And that should humble us. Nothing that we can do that can influence God so that he can say, "Oh yes, I'm going to love him now." Different than us humans. If somebody does what we like, oh yeah, they're great, they're in our good books. But if somebody does or says something we don't like, we very often turn our backs. Oh, Father never turns his back on us. He always looks down on us in love. So we can look at him and we come humbly before him. But as we come humbly before him, there's a mixed feeling as well of coming before him with thanksgiving, with gratitude in our hearts. And when we just think that he has given us his word, and his word teaches us about this, the Holy Scriptures teaches us who he is, reveals to us who he is. Oh, he's beautiful. He's just, he's holy, he's full of love. Ah, awesome. He's a loving person. We owe him so much. Our salvation, life itself. We have a hope because of him through Jesus. Our hearts must be full of gratitude to God. It's no good going around like, "Oh dear, I don't know what the problem is." There's no problem with God. God's with us. Our Father's with us. And then that should lead us to have a worshipful heart. As we get just a glimpse of his love towards us, for example, of the way that he saved us, of the way that he provides for us, of the way that he helps us in our daily lives, we come to worship him. And that's the whole theme of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. He says that we might be to the praise of his glory. God's done so much for us. He's done so much for you. And he wants you to be a person who gives him praise, that reveals his glory to others. So this person that knows it, as we learn to know how to pray, hallowed be your name, we will readily and joyfully worship him. We'll readily and joyfully exalt him. Just when you just look at creation, it's awesome to just think, just to look at creation. I remember we were going from Chile over to Argentina, and we were going over a high pass. It was late at night. We were about 4,000 odd meters above sea level, and it was a clear sky, and all you could see was stars. In fact, it's just a starry sky, no blackness, just, I won't say twinkling star, I don't know what's the right word, but they would just seem to sparkle. The whole sky was covered. And this is our Father. He created that. You know, in Chile, I'm giving an advert for Chile here, but in Chile, for example, you see the volcanoes, massive, amazing things. The mountains just towering up from the sea, basically. Our God is Creator God. And he's created us, he's constructed us, he's made us. The psalmist says this, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, hallowed be your name, I reverence you, I bow before you, because you are wonderful. You're our creator, you created us. And oh, what when we just think of his salvation, when you just think of Jesus, God was in Christ, reconciling a lost, fallen, and rebellious world to himself. What an amazing love. Our Father's love. It's no wonder we must fall in love with him. No wonder when we consider his matchless name, through Jesus Christ, we come to our Father. And we must learn to pour out our hearts in fervent prayers and praise, because his name is to be hallowed, is to be reverenced amongst us, is to be set apart amongst us. His name is above all names. Oh, I'll start dancing. I mustn't do that. I haven't got much room here. So we're actually praying that his great name, God's great name, may be reverenced, hallowed, that we may receive true reverence in our hearts and minds and will, that we may walk before him always humbly, recognizing as our Father, he loves us. We are loved of God. Oh, awesome. And this should bring a solemn reverence to our heart. Therefore, we begin this prayer by asking God, first of all, Lord, may your name be reverenced. May my life set you apart. May I place you in that place where you want to be in my life. Help me to understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant for you, Lord, the Holy One, to take away my sin. Just what an amazing Father that allowed his Son to die for us. And there must be a desire within our hearts to holy him, to hallow him rather, to have reverence for him. And as we walk in reverence with our Heavenly Father, as we pray, hallowed be our name, we see that it applies to us first of all, to us first of all. It's our responsibility to reverence God's name, to hallow it, to hold him in reverence in our hearts and minds. We must learn to walk in the reality of God's presence, not just when we come into church, although we don't do that right now, do we? But not just when we have a special time with God, a prayer time or whatever, but God is with us, in us and around us. It's Paul in Acts says this, quoting some poets, "For in God we live and move and have our being." In Father, he's with us, he's around us, he's caring for us, and we must. This is God's heart for us, that we must put him, allow him to be in that place in our lives that he wants to be. And then it's not only a personal thing that he's asking God for here. He's asking that others may share our experience as well. He's asking that God will really open up his heart, will open up their hearts to him as well. You see, our lives aren't just all about us. Our lives, we are here so that we may take our Father with us wherever we go, that we might help others to come to know him, that we might really, as it says on in verse 10 of chapter 6 of Matthew here, that his kingdom may come. We will want others to know this wonderful Father. We will want others to come to know this Jesus who's worthy to be known. You see, this is a positive content. This isn't just something that, it's a little start of the prayer to warm up. No. This is putting us in the right frame of mind, in the right attitude, in the right way of looking at God. The psalmist says this, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Psalm 34, verse 3. And that's the whole ethos here of hallowed be thy name. Oh, magnify, O Lord, your name through me. And help me to magnify you, Lord. Help me to be willing for you to have your will in my life. Let us, and then he calls on those around him. Then he calls on those in the world, if you like. Let's exalt his name together. Let's bring God into the equation. Let's trust Father. So when he says, hallowed be your name, it simply means let's put God in his rightful place in our lives. Awesome, eh? Awesome. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you really think about us. You love us. You thought about us before eternity began, before the creation of the world, if I may say it that way. And Father, I just want to thank you that you have a purpose for each one of us that are listening to these few thoughts this morning. And we pray that you will help us be willing to allow you to move within our lives so that we can place you as the number one in our lives, so that you can have that place that you desire to have within us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and give you peace.